Ding dong, ding dong. The Preachers, Is This How You Feel? Wahrscheinlich einer der Hits aus dem letzten Jahr, den so ziemlich jeder irgendwann mal gehört hat und der wahrscheinlich jeden von der Couch irgendwie hochgebracht hat. Eine ziemlich, ziemlich großartige Nummer von den Preachers, ist bei uns auch hoch und runter gelaufen und heute Abend spielen sie hier in Berlin, sind im Venu zu Gast und jetzt hier tatsächlich auch bei uns im Studio aufgetaucht. You made it! Thank goodness!
We were worried.
We thought we have to solve like a criminal case here and have to give out posters or so.
Where are the
Preachers? Could have been a nice lead up to tonight's show or something like that.
Yeah, we got, we ended up at another radio station by accident.
By accident? Yeah. Which one, can I ask?
Radio Eins.
No.
But so we've been there before, so we knew before we stepped out of the car. We're like, this is not the place.
So
this is not Flux FM.
Did you at least ring their bell and say like, hello, we're not supposed to be here, but can we be on air for a quick interview?
No, we wanted to come see you guys.
So you just left
without
talking to them. Yeah. Well done. Great decision. So thank you for being here now. Tonight's show at Binu is your second time in Berlin?
Yeah,
it is, right. I was just talking to my co-worker, Simon Dömer, who interviewed you the last time.
That's right.
The Preachers are coming. They're so nice. They're so lovely. I was so afraid of them. And then they were so nice and treating me so nicely.
Yeah, he was really funny.
Yeah.
Was he scared of you?
No, he was just, I think he was a little bit nervous.
I think it was one of
but
his
he was
first
having a
live
lot of
interviews.
Fun with us. He was joking with us a lot.
No, he was super in love afterwards. And he says hi. I think he left already today. Or is he sitting out there? Is that him? I'm not sure. Actually, he's always wearing funny sweatshirts, so that could be him, the one with the sandwiches on the back. Anyway, so.
There he is.
Hello. Yes. Okay. So we clarified that. Very good. So let's talk about back to work. Exactly. I just wanted to start off the interview with a little story from my last summer. And I thought, I hope I'm not insulting you. But I was traveling with friends in a car and we were listening to the Preacher single. Is This How You Feel? And of course, it's, you know, like very groovy. And we were just going through some woods. And it was the perfect song for that late summer afternoon. And then what came out of the song was a discussion about guilty pleasures.
Mm.
So it was just this, we were asking ourselves, why does everybody love that song so much? What does it trigger? And then somebody said like, well, you know, it sounds a little bit like a guilty pleasure. And maybe the band, when they produced the song, they were listening to a lot of guilty pleasures and were not afraid of producing something like that. Because, you know, I mean, it's definitely not a guilty pleasure to listen to you guys, but it reminds you in some sequences of some songs from the 80s or late 70s that we all love to listen to.
Yeah.
And never really admit it. So what happened when you, or before you actually produced that song?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's great that you said that because that's exactly how we felt about it when we wrote it and recorded it. And there were some guitar lines that Jack plays in the middle of the song that he, I think at the time we were like, can we really do that? But it was great because, you know, every song needs a little bit of bad taste. It needs it. It needs something like that little thing that makes you go, ooh, what's this? You know, am I supposed to be enjoying this? We were listening to a lot of Prince, a lot of Roxy Music.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, like, I just watched that Eagles documentary.
Mm, yeah.
I was never a very big Eagles fan. I always found it a bit too, I don't know.
It's a bit too manly.
Yeah, you know, I know, but the Eagles are the same thing. Nobody really wants to admit that the Eagles kind of had really great songs.
Yeah, but One of Those Nights is a great song.
I think it's what people call soft rock, and that makes it lame.
Yeah. Probably it is. So, but you were not afraid, apparently, and there must have been one point when you said, like, you know what? Screw it, we'll just do it.
Well, it's just whatever the song needs, you know, that's what you have to do.
I think we began to enjoy playing it.
Mm.
And all that other stuff that you think about when you're writing goes out the window because at the core of it you're just enjoying it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then that becomes infectious to others watching that.
Yeah.
And then that's that sort of that feeling you're talking about of just like you can hear that we're enjoying it on the record.
Yeah.
It translates.
And in any way, what means guilty pleasure, right? And Izzy was just saying something bad taste or so, but that was one of the things in the car. Is it really bad taste or are we just ashamed to say that because it's been a while, you know, and it's people that are not really popular anymore nowadays. That when somebody would say like, I like Don Henley, listening to Don Henley, like,
but there's an irony about that, I think, especially where we come from, this kind of good, I guess good bad is the word that we use
sometimes.
Yeah,
we use a lot of that.
good bad. Mm-hmm. When it's so tasteless or tacky that it's actually good because it's kind of grown beyond the fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can just kind of be like...
You can enjoy it for the song and what it is, yeah.
Yeah, so you get to be kind of... You get to be a lot more broad in the things that you have as guilty pleasures.
Right.
And they all influence you, whether you kind of... Whether you admit it or not.
Yeah, and you can get a pretty cool spin out of it, as it happened in your case, for instance, with that song. And I want to repeat, we don't think that this is a guilty pleasure to listen to your song or so, or your song is a guilty pleasure. But as I said, it reminds us a little bit of this time, you know, because it's so groovy. It's like, and everybody has to start moving with the song. It's just a fact. I'm just going to translate quickly. So, also, ich habe gerade gefragt, wir oder Freunde von mir und wir sind irgendwann letztes Jahr im Auto gefahren, hatten diesen Song angehört, den wir auch gerade gehört haben und haben uns gefragt, warum fährt eigentlich jeder auf diesen Song ab? Und Guilty Pleasure bezeichnet man ja als ein Stückchen Musik, das man genießen kann, aber sich trotzdem ein bisschen dafür schämt, weil es, was weiß ich, von irgendwelchen Künstlern gesungen wird, die man jetzt nicht unbedingt vor sich hertragen möchte. Und sie sagen, ja klar, also wir kennen das auch und das Phänomen ist schon auch da bei diesem Song, weil man eben auch das Gefühl hat, irgendwie ist es so ein bisschen schlechter Geschmack, aber dann eben auch nicht. Und wenn man die Möglichkeit findet, da sich auch hinzugeben, beziehungsweise sich das anzuhören und das auch anzunehmen, dann kann man auch einen ganz coolen Dreh dabei finden und diese Musik auch ein bisschen schicker, ein bisschen neuer machen. Sie selber haben zu klassischen Stückchen eher, haben sich klassische Stückchen eher angehört, die Eagles zum Beispiel gehört. Und sie haben auch gesagt, das ist dann auch okay am Ende, wenn man es so macht. Und insofern geht das schon in Ordnung. So, I was reading an interview about you producing the record. Of course, after the song was brought out, the single. Did you go with Eno into the studio afterwards, or was that a parallel thing? Like the single came out and then you went to Austin?
Yeah, the single came out about 2 years ago almost. So we made that in our studio in Sydney and Jack produced it and mixed it and all the rest. And we went to make the record in March last year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Jack approached Jim
Eno.
About working on it with him.
Jim Eno from Spoon, we should mention. Mm-hmm. The drummer from Spoon.
Yep.
Who is based in Austin, so he had to go over to Austin.
Yeah, he's got a studio in Austin called Public Hi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Spoon guys built that studio after Ga 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 Ga, which is like their fifth record or something.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to be in Austin for South by Southwest.
Yeah, it was really coincidence that we ended up making the record there because we had 3 weeks to play with between South by Southwest, which is in Austin, and Coachella in Palm Springs.
Oh, okay.
And that's the time that the label gave us to make the record. They were like, you have 3 weeks, go for it. So we would have made it probably back in Australia, but it didn't make sense to fly all the way back. It was a bit expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Jim just had 3 weeks free before he started rehearsals for the Spoon tour.
Perfect.
The new record. So, yeah, and it was great because they just finished up their 8th album, They Want My Soul. Is that what it's called?
They Want My Soul.
Yeah. And he was getting all the masters and stuff and we were doing our first record.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really good to have that perspective from him. And he's a really positive person in general and that was very good for us. We really needed that.
Because you were insecure with your first record and he was much more experienced
he was like,
and was like, take it easy or...
Yeah.
Just don't sweat the small stuff and you have to be detailed about what you're doing because, of course, you know, if it's not right, it's not right.
Mm.
But because we had such a short amount of time to get the beds down with him, he was just like, don't worry about that, you know. Album art. Don't worry about it.
Right. Who cares?
Yeah. And at that stage, that was exactly what we needed.
Mm. But I was wondering when we heard the single for the first time, like, let's see, let's wait for this album. Let's see if they can keep it up. Because there was a certain groove, there was a certain style. And surprisingly, you kind of succeeded to continue with that style on the... Yeah, surprisingly, because you, Jack, you produced the first single and then you went into the studio with someone else, with Jim. And I guess it's, you know, you have to kind of make sure that the other person understands where you're going with your music.
Well, Jack produced it alongside Jim pretty closely. And we were really conscious of making a record that Is This How You Feel could live on and not feel strange, you know, not feel like it didn't belong there.
Right.
So in a lot of ways, even though we were past Is This How You Feel as a band, we really tried to make a record that felt like a story from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like it's a really different way of working to just making songs, you know. And then after we finished with Jim in Austin, we took what we had, all the beds and, you know, the rough things that we'd put down, and took them back to Sydney with us, to our studio, and did the rest of the record there. So it's a bit of both.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a bit of both worlds.
Also ich habe, oder Sie haben gerade erzählt, dass Sie die Platte, wir haben etwa anderthalb Jahr später aufgenommen, nachdem, also Is This How You Feel, rausgekommen war. Und man hatte das gemeinsam mit Jim Eno aufgenommen, der Drummer von Spoon ist, der hat da so in Austin in Texas ein kleines Aufnahmestudio und hat dort gemeinsam mit den Leuten dann oder mit der Band die Platte aufgenommen. Es hat sich auch ganz gut reingepasst in den Plan, weil zu dieser Zeit auch das South by Southwest war, das Coachella konnten Sie auch gleich noch mitnehmen. Insofern haben Sie da drüben ein ziemlich oder drei, vier Wochen verbracht. Und Jack hatte zwar die erste Single produziert, aber irgendwie hat man es dann eben doch geschafft, diesen Stil, diesen sehr groovigen Stil von der Single auf der ganzen Platte beizubehalten, weil die beiden eben auch Jim und Jack gemeinsam an der Platte gearbeitet haben, das gemeinsam quasi produziert haben. Und es hat dann auch ganz gut funktioniert, weil Jim Eno natürlich mit Spoon an der achten Platte gearbeitet hat, während hier die Leute, die Preachers erst an der ersten Platte arbeiten, noch aufgeregt waren, aber Jim dann auch meinte, hey Leute, macht euch mal nicht so heiß wegen kleinen Sachen, wir produzieren jetzt die Platte und dann wird auch alles okay, und es hat ja auch ganz gut funktioniert. Während jetzt Izzy und Jack sich gegenseitig noch die Haare flechten, while you're braiding your hair.
Because you said plait.
What are you doing actually? Is it lice that he has, Izzy?
I'm plaiting Jack's hair.
You are?
Yeah.
So, I could, I don't know. I've been on the road.
It's true. Mm. And I think it's going around
musicians
in Berlin.
Musicians carry all sorts of bugs.
It's true. Yeah.
It's going around in Berlin.
Lice are going around.
I heard several people now.
Bed bugs.
Might catch some
not
at the
so
show
much
tonight.
Bed bugs, but lice. Just typical hair lice, the regular stuff.
Nothing so, like super vicious.
Nah, it's all good.
It's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. So you brought your guitars. And where are they? They're between your legs, yes. Okay. And you want to play a song, which I think should happen now. It's exactly the right kind of time. What song are we going to listen to?
This song's called Cruel, and it's from the record. I think we're releasing it as a single in the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's been around for a long time. It's probably almost as old as Is This How You Feel? Yeah. But it started off as like a Alabama Shakes kind of soul groove thing. And then we worked on it and worked on it and worked on it, and it ended up, it just ended up a total beast. It was completely different than what we started with.
I thought it was better.
Yeah, yeah. By beast, I mean sexy beast.
Sexy beast.
Sexy beast. Woo. Yeah. Do you need my microphone, by the way? Yeah. I could offer you mine for Gideon, maybe.
Do you have any like reverb or anything for the vocals?
Something like this, or what is it? What is a reverb?
A reverb?
Reverb. No, we don't have a reverb. Okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah?
No, that's fine.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay, do you need my microphone? You take this one? All right, I'm going to see.
Or do you want to join on mine?
I'll just jump in on yours.
Jump on.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you hear the guitars?
Yeah, pretty good, actually.
Right, okay.
Yeah? Do you want to do a quick live sound check? You could.
No, we're fine. Let's jump into it.
Izzy sounds brilliant. And I think the guitars sound okay too.
Okay is good enough, huh?
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna send my microphone over, so you're left on your own now. All right?
Okay.
Okay. Isn't
it unsupervised?
It's unsupervised. Cruel.
Okay. One. Thank you.
gotta get my shit together. Applause for about 30 Flux FM co-workers here. We're standing out there, standing ovations as far as I can see. Yeah, there they are. Yeah, they are. Thank you so much, guys. So, oof, that would be nice to hear some acoustic stuff tonight as well.
Yeah, well, we're not going to do any.
Great.
Yeah, we have a pretty, you know, short and sweet set because the record's only 35 minutes long. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of other songs, but we've got lots of new stuff we're actually starting to demo right now.
Oh, yeah,
for the next record.
Okay.
And we might, I mean, it's not really ready to play yet, but we've got a couple of other things that we play at the end of the set.
Right. So let's see if the audience likes it. The German, the critical German audience. By the way, Jack, I heard you once saying the Germans are kinky.
Yep.
Do you remember that?
I do remember saying
that. So what exactly do you mean by that?
I got asked this last time when I said it actually. I think it's a good, what's the word? It's a inquisitiveness and good.
Mischievous
nature.
Yeah, mischievous.
That's really
mischief. And quirky sense of humor.
Yeah, quirky sense of humor.
Yeah, Germans have really good sense of humor.
Really?
It's a really endearing quality.
You know, not many people would say that.
We weren't expecting it, you know, because it's the stereotype is the opposite of German people, you know, that they're very efficient, very direct. But when we arrived in Berlin last year, it was something that we noticed straight away about all the people that we were surrounded by, that they had a really good sense of humor.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. See, who would knew? Okay, guys, I know you have a photo shooting, so we don't really have much more time to talk. You have to basically leave now. Is the photo shooting here on the terrace or is it somewhere else?
No, it's at the venue.
Oh, at the venue, which is Binu. So let's quickly just give some tickets away for tonight's show.
Yeah.
Who's going to sit on the telephone? Yeah, Mark is going to do it. Okay, wer heute Abend dabei sein möchte bei der Show, der ruft jetzt an 030-2000-9000. The Preachers on stage. No acoustic set, please. Whoever wants to hear acoustic sets, should not go. Otherwise, please show up. It's going to be probably a very great show. Wie nur, es geht los gegen 20:30 etwa und jetzt anrufen 030-2000-9000. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
We're looking forward to tonight's show.
Yeah.
And hopefully you'll be back soon.
Yes, hopefully. We will.
We'd love to come back in the summer.
Yeah, we love Germany. It's our favorite place in Europe to play.
Thank you. Come back in summer. It's even better then. Well, you have been actually here when it was a little warmer,
right? We were
here
for a hurricane.
Hurricane, yeah. Southside, yeah.
Yeah, okay. You saw it already. Okay, thanks, guys. See you
soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See ya.